So last year, one of the things that we kind of put some attention to was spending more time with the Newman Center, the Catholic group at Gustavus College. And so just in the time we spent with the students there and things, one day I got a letter in the mail from a mother of one of the students there. And she was just so thankful for the attention that her daughter was getting there at that Newman Center. And she sent along just a nice check to say, I want to help support the ministry that was there. And it was just a very beautiful offering, you know? I think that this is true, not just like that, but like any organizations, especially for moms and dads. When you see someone or this group, this organization, doing something to help your kids, your heart is moved to such gratitude. There's basically nothing you wouldn't be willing to do to support that person in that group, right? I mean, it's really true, especially from the heart of a mom and a dad, this gratitude. You could say, in a sense, like the gospel, you go back to give thanks, right? I want to take a deep dive today into that. Really, the power of gratitude. Ultimately, the goal is this, that we would be so grateful to God for everything, that in return, we would offer him everything. Not just a little bit of money, not just an hour, but that you would offer him your very life out of gratitude and joy for what he's done for you, okay? So, let's talk about Jesus at the Last Supper, because that's what we're doing at Mass, right? I want you to think about Jesus at the Last Supper. When Jesus celebrated that first Eucharist, which that word means thanksgiving, right? I can imagine everything going on in his mind, everything he was thinking about, everything going on in his heart, in his feelings, going to die the next day, all these things, going to be betrayed, whatever, right? What was the greatest thing happening in Jesus' heart at that moment? It was actually gratitude. At the Last Supper, Jesus was completely overwhelmed, taken over with thankfulness to his Father. He was so grateful. That's why it was called the Eucharist. He took the bread and the wine, and he said that Jewish prayer, which is the same prayer I still say today. He says, "Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation," and he gave thanks. This was the moment that God was going to fulfill, the Father was going to fulfill his mission in Jesus. Everything Jesus had done his whole life, his family in Nazareth growing up, the 3 years of ministry, the teaching, the miracles, all of it had been leading up to this moment. And his heart is just overwhelmed with gratitude. And then specifically, I think, being in the upper room with the most intimate and closest friends that the Father had given to him. These are the people, his disciples, these men and women, that were the closest people to him. And so Jesus says at the Last Supper, just beautiful things to them. He said, "As the Father has loved me, so I love you." He says, as he's praying at the end of the Last Supper, he turns to the Father, he's praying, he says, "Father, they are your gift to me." He tells them, "You're not just my servants, you are my friends." And he gets down on his knees and with his own hands, he washes their feet, right? You see how grateful Jesus is. His heart is filled. It's overflowing with gratitude. And so in response, just like those parents I talked about, like, what's our response? I don't know if you've ever had that moment where you're so filled with gratitude and praise for what God's given. Your response is, "Father, I trust you. I give you everything." And that's what Jesus does. He offers in response, out of joy, his whole life to us. He takes the bread and the wine and he turns to the Father. He says, "I'm offering my life tonight, God, out of gratitude and love for them. Take this and eat. This is my flesh and my blood that I'm going to give and pour out for you. And now do this in remembrance of me." In other words, that's what Jesus did. And that's what we're supposed to do too, at every Mass. You know, I often think when I take the bread in my hands and I say Jesus' words, and he's literally speaking in me as a priest, right? And I say those words, and he gave thanks. And I think, Jesus, how could you give thanks that you were going to go die? Because that's what he's saying. saying, I'm going to give my life. I'm going to die on the cross for you. And that's what was happening at that moment. And he gives thanks for it. That's what he did. How could you do that, Jesus? But actually, it makes sense. When we're filled with such gratitude, we respond with just offering everything. Today actually made me think of this too. Today is my 19th anniversary of my deacon ordination. I was ordained a transitional deacon, a little different than a permanent deacon, but both deacons, right? On the way to being a priest, in my transitional diaconate, when I took those promises, because I was going to be a priest, that was the moment I took the promise of celibacy, actually. Not at my priesthood, but at my diaconate. So 19 years ago today, really I consider that the day I gave my life to the Lord. And I remember that day as just such a beautiful, glorious day. That everything in my life I knew had been leading me up to that moment. This was God's will for me. And all I wanted to do was offer him my whole life. There with my family, with my classmates, with the friends, everyone who was there. That I offered God everything with the greatest joy and gratitude in my heart. You see, that's exactly what we're talking about. Every one of you who are married, I'm assuming that's the same sense you had as you stood at the altar that day of your wedding. And with such gratitude to God, you offered your whole life to this person. That's what's meant to be happening, you guys, at every Mass. That we come here and we recognize the truth, we recognize the reality that God, you have blessed me with everything I have. And I am so grateful. That's why I come to church. Not to get something out of Mass. Not to hear the best homily in the world. I come to give thanks to God. And moved with that gratitude and that thankful heart to say, God, today I offer you everything. I offer you my life. You know, I'm referred to this book. I'm going to do it again a couple weeks ago. It's this woman. Her name is Catalina. She's from South America. And she received these revelations from Mary and from our Lord. And her bishop did approve the book, by the way. But she was, at this time, describing what was spiritually happening in the Mass, like the reality of what we're doing here. And at the time of the offertory, she saw the angels. She said, when we were doing the offertory and bringing that up, I saw this person come out of the side of every person sitting in the cathedral. And it was their, Mary said, these are their guardian angels. And they walked up the center aisle, up to the altar. She said, they're carrying to the altar the offering of the person they are representing, their the guardian angel for. And there were three groups of angels that came up. And the first one had these golden-looking bowls that were glowing with this light. And they came up very reverently and offered this to the Lord, prostrated, knelt. She said, these are the angels, the people who really know what they're doing at the Mass. They're really praying here today, and they have something to offer. They're really bringing everything and offering it to Jesus. That was those. Then the second group that came behind them, they came holding nothing, empty hands, but still praying. So these are the angels representing the people. They're here, but they don't really understand what they're doing here. And so they don't really have anything to offer because they're not actually offering anything. They're just here. And so they have empty hands. They don't have nothing to offer, but they're still praying. And then the last group came up and the angels looked downcast. They looked sad. And she said, these are the angels of those who are here, really not here. They're here because they feel forced to be here. Like it's just an obligation. They don't really want to be here at all. And so they have nothing to offer the Lord. They'd rather not be here. And then Mary was speaking to Catalina. She says, don't sadden your guardian angels. Ask big of the Lord when you come to the Mass. In fact, she says specifically, at that moment, that's the moment where you offered God your sorrows, your pains, your dreams, joys. Whatever it is you're asking for. Remember, the Mass has infinite value, so be generous in what you're asking of the Lord at that moment. And especially in Thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God for everything and letting them bring that to the altar. What are you thankful for today? What are you giving God thanks for today? I'm sure there's 100 personal things you could fill in there, right? I could too. Especially today, I'm thankful to the Father for his love. for the Father's love, and for Jesus, for his death and his life that he gives to me. And I'm grateful to him. And don't forget to be thankful for your sufferings. That's hard, right? I know that's not easy. But look at our reading today, both the first reading and the gospel. What was it that brought these men to God, that brought these men to Jesus? It was their leprosy. It was their disease, their sickness they had. What suffering in your life has brought you closer to the Lord? Or maybe what suffering right now is he trying to use to do that right now in your life? And are you able to give God thanks for that today? Maybe you're not there yet. Can you at least thank him that he's drawing you closer to himself through that? When we're able to thank God like that, even in our sufferings, at that moment, we are truly offering the Eucharist like Jesus and with him, right? One last thing, last moment. When you come up and receive communion, and then you go back to your pew, and you kneel down to pray, the church tells us at that moment, after the song, we're supposed to have a time of silence in which we give thanks to God. That's what we're meant to do at that time. At that moment, Jesus has poured himself out with such gratitude for you in love. He poured his body blood into you. And at that moment, Jesus is a beggar of your love. That's what he wants more than anything, is your love in return. Now, can I just say, if at that moment, at that most intimate moment, you walk out of the upper room and out the doors, how does that affect the heart of our Lord? At the moment, he's begging you for love that you would walk out of the upper room. That's what's happening. But rather, no. In gratitude, what do? You kneel down and you tell him, thank you, Jesus, so much. And Jesus, I love you. At the end of our gospel, when that one came back, Jesus said, 10 were healed, were they not? Has only this one come back to give Eucharist, thanksgiving to God? And then he told that one, he said, go your way. Your faith has saved you.